Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to our services tonight here at Faith Forward Baptist Church. It's so nice to see you all here on this Sunday evening. If you don't, please find your seats now. Take a hymnal. Go to hymn 379. We'll begin tonight. Hymn 379. Bringing in the sheaves. Hymn number 379. And once you find your place, we'll lift that up together on that first verse. 379. Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness. Hymn 379. Sing it out together now.
Sowing in the morning, sowing seeds of kindness, sowing in the noontide, in the new eve, waiting for the harvest at the time of reaping. We shall come rejoicing, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves, bringing in the sheaves. We shall come rejoicing.
Heavenly Father, Lord, thank you for bringing us back to church tonight, and thank you for bringing back Pastor Anderson safe. Please bless the singing that's pleasing to your ears. I ask in Jesus' name I pray. Amen.
Amen. 254, hymn 254. Whosoever will may come. Hymn number 254. We'll lift it up on that first verse. Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. Hymn 254, sing it out. Whosoever heareth, shout, shout the sound. Spread the blessed tidings all the world around. Tell the joyful news wherever man is found. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over vale and hill. 'Tis the loving Father calls the wonder home. Whosoever will may come, whosoever cometh need not delay. Now the door is open, enter while you may. Jesus is the true, the only living way. Whosoever will may come, whosoever will, whosoever will. Send the proclamation over there. Father calls the wanderer home. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will, the promise is secure. Whosoever will, till heaven must endure. Whosoever will, tis life forevermore. Whosoever will may come. Whosoever will. Father calls the wonder home. Whosoever will may come.
Amen. Good singing.
All right. At this time, we'll go through our announcements together. If you don't have a bulletin, slip up your hand nice and high. We'll get to you with one. On the inside, we have our service times. Sunday morning at 10:30 is our preaching service. Sunday nights at 6. Wednesday nights at 7 is our Bible study. This week, we'll be in 2 Chronicles chapter number 16. We've got the soul winning times listed there below, as well as salvations and baptisms. Don't forget, Thursday at 4 p.m., that particular soul winning time is canceled this week. So again, Thursday at 4 p.m., not happening this week only. Across the page, the baby shower this afternoon, that ship has already sailed. Thank you to all those who participated, and I hope you all had a good time. And then keep praying for the expectant ladies in our church, including Lola, who for some reason was deleted from the list, but she'll be back next week, I'm assuming. And so I just found out about that this morning. Getting caught up on all the news since I've been gone. Of course, I was in Armenia for the last 4 weeks. I didn't announce in advance where I was going because at this point, it's probably just one phone call to get me stopped from going to some of these places. So I spent 4 weeks in Armenia. I spent a few months before that learning the language. I was over there for 4 weeks. I got to preach four full-length sermons while I was there and do soul winning and also look at ancient manuscripts of the Bible in museums and study up on that. It's really interesting because the Armenian Bible is one of the oldest Bible translations in the world. And it supports a lot of King James readings and things because it's one of those pieces of evidence that is often not looked at because it's kind of an obscure language. It has a totally different alphabet and stuff like that. So it's something that I've wanted to interact with for a long time because there's so much great evidence out there for the truth of the traditional text of Scripture and that's just ignored. Because there's a certain agenda that only wants to look at just this tiny sliver of the evidence to promote these modern Bible versions, the critical text, and all this junk instead of the traditional text that God has been blessing and using for centuries, millennia even. And so that was really interesting to get to study that. I'm going to be doing more with that in the future. And, of course, we've got the missions. I don't want to talk too much about the specifics of my trip simply because I don't want to steal my own thunder for the missions conference that I'm going to be preaching at. So the missions conference is coming up at the beginning of November, and we've kind of nailed down pretty much the schedule for that week. We're going to be having a sermon by Brother Segura about the Dominican Republic on Wednesday. Then on Thursday, we're going to hear from Brother Caleb Akinosho preaching about his experiences in Tuvalu. And then, God willing, Brother Raymond Cooper is going to preach that evening about the Samoa. And sorry, I'm super tired fighting the jet lag. I just got back yesterday evening at 6 o'clock, and it's a long trip to Armenia. And so we're going to then have on Thursday, sorry, that was already, I already talked about Thursday. On Friday, there's going to be Fiji sermons. In the morning, Pastor Kevin Sepulveda is going to preach about his experiences in Fiji. In the evening, Pastor Jonathan Shelley preaching about Fiji. Then on Saturday, we're going to have a Germany day. We're going to have Brother Anselm Urban preaching, as well as Brother Dylan Oz. And then who I believe will be ordained as pastor by the time that conference comes around. And then on Sunday, I'll be preaching about Armenia. I'm probably going to do a morning sermon just about my soul-winning experiences over there and kind of talking about it from a missions perspective. And then probably Sunday night, I'll change gears and just do a whole sermon about the Armenian Bible and the King James Version and tie all that in and break that down for the layman. And so I'm really excited about the missions conference. It's always a great time. I look forward to it. I hope you do as well. I hope you had a great time while I was gone hearing all the guest speakers at the mega conference. And so anyway, I won't go on and on, but those are just a few basic things that I wanted to mention. But I had a great time in Armenia. There were a lot of things. Obviously, it's always good to be back in America, you know, when you go to these places. Because let's face it, we live in the best country in the world, and we should be thankful to God for that every single day. But, you know, some of these other countries, though, there are a lot of things that are actually, like, superior about these other countries. Every place has its pros and cons. Like, one thing, for example, is when you're in Armenia, so good about Armenia was that the water tasted so good, just straight out of the tap, It was ice cold. It was the best tasting water I'd ever had. And you could just get it out of any bathroom faucet. I'd just be like in a public bathroom, flip open the tap and just fill my bottle. Ice cold, best tasting. I mean, would you even dream of doing that in America? Like, you wouldn't just be filling it up in a public restroom. But over there, that's what you did. There were just drinking fountains and faucets everywhere. And the water was good. The food was good. It was great that that people at least had a little bit more of like a conservative, traditional culture a little bit. The soul winning was kind of a mixed bag. It was not necessarily super receptive. It was a lot of people were hard to talk to. There was definitely a big language barrier. You needed the language. But I'll go into a lot more details about all of that. And but there were some, you know, some really great salvations and some really nice experiences spiritually, and seeing the church over there was really encouraging. There were actually a bunch of Baptist churches over there. They don't have any connection to the United States at all. They're just like indigenous Armenian Baptist churches, and so there's actually, you know, at least a thriving community of believers over there. But, you know, the mainstream religion over there is the Armenian Apostolic Church, which is just another one of these kind of, you know, hocus-pocus type religions. A lot of candles and icons and crossing yourself and all that. But anyway, we'll talk about that later at the conference, so I don't want to spoil it. So anyway, thank you to everyone who was faithful while I was gone, and got good reports from the guest preachers about the hospitality and friendliness of our church. They really like to be here and be around you guys. I like to be here and be around you guys. So thank you so much for being cool and being faithful. All right, on the back of the bulletin, the roller skating night. This Thursday night is the roller skating. It's totally free. All of our church events are always free. And so you just show up. And, you know, tell them the password, and you get in. There's no password. I'm just kidding. But it's August 15th. Make sure that you go to the correct skating rink that's at this address, because we kind of go back and forth between the two, depending on which one's available. So make sure you go to the right branch. And then Navajo stuff, of course, four soul winners went up there, had 15 people saved. There's another Navajo trip coming up August 23rd and 24th, an overnighter. Small town soul winning trip on Saturday, August 17th. And then another baby shower coming up in a couple weeks for Mrs. Olivia Stiles. And that's going to be from 2 to 4 right here. And the don't go back to school party at Svab Park. That's water balloons and ice cream. And that's going to be on Monday, September 2nd. And so that's about it for announcements. Let's go ahead and count up the soul winning from the past few days. Going back to Thursday, anything to report from Thursday? Okay, gotcha. Okay, and then how about Friday? Okay, got it, gotcha. Okay, all right. And then what about Saturday? Is that the 15 from the res trip? We're gonna log that, okay. Gotcha. Okay. All right, and then today, Sunday, Brother Scott. Four for the main group with Brother Scott. Got another two over here. North Phoenix, all right. Gotcha. Okay, anything else from today? Very good. Keep up the great work on soul winning. And with that, let's sing our next song. Come lead us.
All right, take your hymnals, please. Go to hymn 411, hymn number 411. We'll sing Hold the Fort, hymn number 411. 411 begins, Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Hymn number 411, sing it out together.
Oh, my comrades, see the signal waving in the sky. Reinforcements now appearing, victory is nigh. Hold the fort, for I am coming. Jesus
393. Oh Zion, haste. Hymn number 393. It's been a few years since we sung the song, but if it's familiar to you, help me out and sing it out nice and strong with me. 393. Oh Zion, haste. Thy mission high fulfilling. 393. Oh Zion, haste. Thy mission.
Our offering plates around. As the plates go around, let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 5. Matthew chapter number 5. As we always do, we'll read the entire chapter beginning in verse number 1. Follow along silently with Brother Dan as he reads Matthew chapter 5, beginning in verse number 1.
Matthew chapter 5, the Bible reads, "And seeing the multitudes, he went up into a mountain. And when he was set, his disciples came unto him. And he opened his mouth and taught them, saying, Blessed are the poor in spirit, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are they that mourn, for they shall be comforted. Blessed are the meek, for they shall inherit the earth. Blessed are they which do hunger and thirst after righteousness, for they shall be filled. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall obtain mercy. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Blessed are the peacemakers, for they shall be called the children of God. Blessed are they which are persecuted for righteousness' sake, for theirs is the kingdom of heaven. Blessed are ye when men shall revile you and persecute you and shall say all manner of evil against you falsely for my sake. Rejoice and be exceeding glad, for great is your reward in heaven, for so persecuted they the prophets which were before you. Ye are the salt of the earth, but if the salt have lost its savor, wherewith shall it be salted? It is thenceforth good for nothing, but to be cast out and be trodden under foot of men. Ye are the light of the world. A city that is set on a hill cannot be hid. Neither do men light a candle and put it under a bushel, but on a candlestick, and it giveth light unto all that are in the house. Let your light so shine before men that they may see your good works, and glorify your Father which is in heaven. Think not that I am come to destroy the law or the prophets. I am not come to destroy, but to fulfill. For verily I say unto you, till heaven and earth pass, one jot or one tittle shall in no wise pass from the law till all be fulfilled. Whosoever therefore shall break one of these least commandments, and shall teach men so, he shall be called the least in the kingdom of heaven. But whosoever shall do and teach them, the same shall be called great in the kingdom of heaven. For I say unto you, that except your righteousness shall exceed the righteousness of the scribes and Pharisees, ye shall in no case enter into the kingdom of heaven. Ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not kill, and whosoever shall kill shall be in danger of the judgment. But I say unto you that whosoever is angry with his brother without a cause shall be in danger of the judgment, and whosoever shall say to his brother, Raca, shall be in danger of the council. But ye have heard that it was said by them of old time, Thou shalt not commit adultery. But I say unto you that whosoever looketh on a woman to lust after her hath committed adultery with her already in his heart. And if thy right eye offend thee, pluck it out and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body shall be cast into hell. And if thy right hand offend thee, cut it off and cast it from thee. For it is profitable for thee that one of thy members should perish, and not that thy whole body should be cast into hell. It hath been said, Whosoever shall put away his wife, let him give her a writing of divorcement. But I say unto you that whosoever shall put away his wife, saving for the cause of fornication, causeth her to commit adultery. And whosoever shall marry her that is divorced, committeth adultery. Again, ye have heard it been said by them of old time, Thou shalt not forswear thyself, but shalt perform unto the Lord thine oaths. But I say unto you, swear not at all, neither by heaven, for it is God's throne, nor by the earth, for it is his footstool, neither by Jerusalem, for it is the city of the great King. Neither shalt thou swear by thy head, because thou canst not make one hair white or black. But let your communication be yea, yea, nay, nay. For whatsoever is more than these cometh of evil. Ye have heard that it hath been said, An eye for an eye, and a tooth for a tooth. But I say unto you that ye resist not evil. But whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him also the other. And if any man will sue thee at the law, and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever shall compel thee to go a mile, go with him twain. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Ye have heard that it hath been said, Thou shalt love thy neighbor, and hate thine enemy. But I say unto you, love your enemies, bless them that curse you, do good to them that hate you, and pray for them which despitefully use you and persecute you, that ye may be the children of your Father which is in heaven. For he maketh his sun to rise on the evil and on the good, and sendeth rain on the just and on the unjust. For if ye love them which love you, what reward have ye? Do not even the publicans the same? And if ye salute your brethren only, what do ye more than others? Do not even the publicans so? Be ye therefore perfect, even as your Father, which is in heaven, is perfect. Brother Barron,
will you pray? Father in heaven, thank you for your word, which is eternal life, which is your Son, Jesus Christ. I pray that you please bless Pastor Anderson with the fullness and the power of the Holy Spirit as he preaches your word, Father, so that all of us, your children, here and that are not, those that are here and those that are not here, would grow in grace and in the knowledge of our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Help us every step along the way, Father. In Jesus' name I pray, amen.
And the title of my sermon this evening is The Extra Mile. The Extra Mile. This is a famous turn of phrase that we use in our modern English language that comes directly from the Bible here when Jesus talks about going the extra mile with those who ask something from you. Look, if you would, in your Bibles at verse 38 of chapter 5. It says, You've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth, but I say unto you that ye resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. And if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And whosoever, they had a lot of man-made rules and traditions that they kept that weren't even in the Bible or even based on the Bible, but just their own man-made, over-the-top sort of interpretations of Scripture. But Jesus is actually elevating the righteousness and saying, you know, your righteousness should exceed that of the scribes and the Pharisees. And of course, you have to be perfect to go to heaven. And that's why the only way any of us is going to go to heaven is through the blood of Jesus. But Jesus Christ here is preaching that, you know, the Old Testament says one thing, and in the New Testament, we should strive to even go beyond what the Bible is explicitly stating us in the law as just sort of a minimum requirement for how to live our lives. He says in verse 38, you've heard that it has been said, an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth. And of course, this is a true statement. An eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth is biblical, and Jesus is not negating what the Old Testament said there. Earlier in the chapter, he flat out said, think not that I'm come to destroy the law or the prophets. I came not to destroy but to fulfill. So we don't want to misunderstand the Sermon on the Mount as Jesus negating what the Bible says, because idiots like Martin Luther King Jr. and others will come along and actually preach against an eye for an eye and a tooth for a tooth as like something wrong or false or wicked or something, when in reality, it's the Word of God. But what Jesus is teaching here is to go the second mile, to do something extra and to forgive people that have wronged us even when they don't deserve it. Okay, this is not negating what the Old Testament says, but rather just preaching something that's even higher and that goes even beyond that. Obviously, our criminal justice system still needs to exist to punish criminals, but in our personal lives, we can actually choose to forgive people who don't deserve it, and that's a higher level of righteousness that God's preaching. He says here in verse 39, but I say unto you that you resist not evil, but whosoever shall smite thee on thy right cheek, turn to him the other also. You know, just letting things go, forgiving, and not having to necessarily right every wrong that is done against you. Verse 40 says, if any man will sue thee at the law and take away thy coat, let him have thy cloak also. And again, just to help you understand the passage, this isn't really what I'm preaching about, but I just want to explain the context here before we get into the actual message. I have better things to do. God's going to avenge me, and I am going to just turn the other cheek, and I'm going to forgive and let things go. I'm not going to resist every evil that is done to me and just fight every battle, you know, for my own sake. But here's what the Bible's not saying. The Bible's not going to say, if other people get slapped, let it happen. Let other people be defrauded. Let other people be slapped. Let other people be raped and murdered and do nothing about it. Is that what the Bible's saying? And this is what the bogus libtard interpretation of this passage will say. Oh, eye for an eye leaves the whole world blind. No, eye for an eye is the word of God, and that's about criminal justice. And you know what? We should, which says, hey, let's just go soft on crime. Let's just let murderers and rapists go free. That's not what the Bible's saying. What the Bible's saying is if you're a victim of something, you have the right to just forgive and move on. But you're the one who has that right. And, you know, there's even a semblance of this in our criminal justice system where you have the right, when people do something wrong against you, to not press charges and say, you know what, I'm not going to press charges here. But what you don't have the right to do is to say that for other people that are victims. And there's a huge difference here, right? It's kind of like the difference between giving your own money to the poor versus stealing someone else's money and giving it to the poor, which is another left-wing doctrine, okay? And so, we don't want to twist the Word of God here. We want to apply the Word of God to ourselves, saying, hey, if people wrong us, it's better to go through life erring on the side of forgiveness, letting things go, not having to fight every battle. But this is not something to bludgeon other people with who are actual victims of crime and tell them, you can't have justice. You need is that, you know, if somebody is making you go a mile, go 2 miles. You know, do extra for people, even when you don't necessarily have to. Do more, do extra, go the second mile. Give to him that asketh thee, and from him that would borrow of thee, turn not thou away. Now, when I read this passage and read about going the extra mile, you know, my mind goes to the workplace, because at the workplace, we're obviously constantly being told to do things, right? We have to do this, we have to do that. Either the boss is demanding that we do something, or the customer is demanding that we do something. And not always is the customer right in a literal sense. Not always is the boss right in a literal sense. But even when people aren't necessarily right, you know, being a great worker, being a great employee is going that extra mile and maybe doing something that's not exactly your job, maybe doing something that you don't think you should have to do. You know, there's nothing wrong with just doing extra at your job, even when you're not necessarily treated well, okay? Being a great worker anyway. When it comes to customer service, right? Sometimes we have great experiences and sometimes we have bad experiences, because some people are really going the extra mile and other people are just lazy and not wanting to even do the basic requirements of their job. Now look, I had a great time on my trip. I don't want to be negative about it, because there were a lot of wonderful things and great things, but customer service was not one of them. You know, sometimes when you go to other countries, the customer service is not necessarily great. Let me give you some examples of some bad customer service experiences that I had of people who just did not understand this concept at all of going the extra mile. You know, I wanted to print out something, right? And so there was this little shop that had a sign in the window that said Xerox, and there were all these kind of places where you could print things out, and a lot of them, when they had that Xerox sign, they'd print something. So I walk in, and I ask the guy, hey, you know, I need to print a document. Can you help me out with this? Just one word answer, no. This is another language, of course. This is not in English. So it was just che, you know, it was just one word. And, you know, I thought that was a little curt. And so, and I knew that there was a place somewhere right around here where I could print something. So I go wander around for about 2 minutes. I come back to the same guy and said, well, you know, do you know of a place nearby where I could print my document that I need to print? Oh, yeah, it's right over there. Yeah, he points out to me it was like 200 feet away. And I'm just kind of thinking to myself, you know, you could have told me that the first time. But no, you didn't. You just know. Okay. You know, another place I walked in, hey, you know, is it all right if I use your bathroom? Do you guys have a bathroom I could use? No. One word. I went to the drugstore. I was trying to find some medicine for a friend. And I'm looking at I went to like several drugstores and I'm just asking people for help. They wouldn't even look at me. They won't tell me where I can get it. You know, do you know where I can get it? Nope. I was struggling to get the pizzas done, right? I'm like, okay, that's whatever, you know, I'll wait the 20 minutes, no big deal. But then this other dude comes up and he says to me, hey, man, I can make you a great sandwich right now. I'll have you out of here in a couple minutes. And this black dude that came up and offered me the sandwich, you could just tell he wanted to work. Bro wanted to make a sandwich, okay? And so he walked up and he's like, hey, man, and he's recommending sandwiches to me. I said, okay, give me a spicy Italian. Done. He just cranks out an awesome sandwich. He's fast. He's working hard. I mean, he's not looking to do the minimum. He didn't, you know, I could have just waited for the pizza, but he jumped in and said, hey, let me make you this sandwich. You know, he actually was going the extra mile. He was wanting to work hard. He was trying to take care of the customer. And it ended up being a great sandwich, and I enjoyed it more than I would have enjoyed the pizza. And so, you know, I was thankful that this guy was. And this is how God wants us to be in our lives. You know, Jesus Christ admonishing us to go that second mile, to do extra, to give things our best, to take care of people, to help people out. And if you work in the customer service industry, you know, you should really strive to do a good job. Even though those are sometimes thankless jobs, even though they're not necessarily the highest paying or most prestigious jobs, you should give it your best if you work in that industry, because no matter what industry you work in, you should always give it your best. And by the way, I mentioned somehow in the morning sermon about tipping. You know, I am one who doesn't whine and complain about giving tips and, oh, I hate to give tips and, oh, I hate this tipping culture or whatever. You know, here's the thing about that is that the way I look at it is that giving tips is a way to be generous to people that are usually a little bit poor, because those aren't necessarily high-paying jobs. And at least those people are actually going to work. I would 1,000 times rather give someone a good tip who's working at a shop or a restaurant or something than to give it to some lazy derelict by the side of the road. You know, people will give money to drug addicts and alcoholics and lazy derelicts by the side of the road. I'm not interested in giving those people a dime of my money. But I would love to give actual working people a little bit of extra. He is the one who drew the water. Who's this guy? This guy is a stranger. He does not have any right to her water or anything like that. But yet he just runs up and says, hey, just give me a little bit of water out of your pitcher. You know, he's compelling her to go a mile, or he's asking her to go a mile with him in a sense. He's asking her to do something for him. And it says in verse number 18, she said, drink, my Lord. And she hasted, I love that word, right? She's not a slacker. She's working hard. She's moving fast. She hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, I will draw water for thy camels also until they've done drinking. Now look, who do you think drinks more, this guy or the camels? Camels drink a lot of water. This guy just said, hey, give me a little bit of water to drink. And she says, I'll do better than that. I'll give you a little water to drink. And then I'm going to draw water for your water-guzzling animals. Okay? And she says that she's going to do that. She hasted. Verse 20. And notice, multiple times we have this verb, she hasted. This woman's got some hustle. She hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough and ran again unto the well to draw water and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace to wit whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. Because, of course, just to give you the context, this guy is a servant of Abraham's. He's looking for a wife for Isaac. She doesn't know that. He just shows up at the well, sees a woman, and asks for a little bit of water. Of course, there's a similar story in the New Testament where Jesus walks up to the woman at the well and says, woman, give me to drink. And, you know, of course, they have the conversation that ultimately leads to her and the whole town hearing the gospel and rejoicing about Jesus Christ being the Messiah. But the idea here is that this woman doesn't know who this guy is, doesn't know what the future holds, and she just goes the extra mile. She gives him water. And then she also has so much hospitality that she gives the camels water and everything like that. And this guy, he's wondering at her and he's wondering, is this the one? Is this the woman that God has provided for Isaac to be his wife? Look at verse 22. It says, it came to pass as the camels had done drinking that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels of weight of gold. And so right away, immediately, we see her being handsomely rewarded. I mean, this is a huge deal. And so what's the moral of the story here? Well, go, if you would, to Ephesians chapter 6. Ephesians chapter 6. And by the way, her son Jacob is the same way. Hardworking guy. It's not you might get rewarded. You will get rewarded if you work hard at your job. You say, well, I just have this crappy customer service job or whatever. But you know what? If you work hard at it, God's going to bless you. Maybe God will bless you by giving you a better job. Or maybe God will find a way to bless you, which, and I liked it. But the point is that that guy's going to go far. That guy's going to be blessed by God. God looks down, he sees that, and he will bless the one who works hard like that, especially his children. Look at Ephesians chapter 6, verse 5. Servants, be obedient to them that are your masters according to the flesh, with fear and trembling, in singleness of your heart, as unto Christ. Not just saying, well, what's the minimum that I have to do? No. Let's be maximum. Not the minimum. Let's go above and beyond. Not the minimum 1 mile. Let's for the work that you're doing, even if you're not even getting paid. You say, well, you know, I just get paid a set amount, and no matter if I do a good job or do a poor job, I'm going to get paid the same. That isn't true. On these job sites, if you work in construction, where everybody's just sitting around, and there's some stupid little job that needs to be done that's going to take like an hour, and everybody's just refusing to do it. Because let's face it, when contractors are designing these jobs and lining out different trades, sometimes there'll be one little job that gets missed or falls through. Immediately rewarded, just the way Rebecca was rewarded by people on the job, just immediately. You know what? That means not only just doing the minimum chores of, you know, cleaning up after yourself, he will bless you for the rest of your life. And you know what? Everything rises and falls on the blessing of God in your life. If God is for you, no one can be against you. If God wants to bless you, you're going to be blessed. You're going to do well. If God's working against you, the other but both. This is what the Bible teaches. And so, you know, you want to someday have everything going your way. You want to prosper financially. You want to have the food and things. And then they just would renege on it. And it was really frustrating. And, you know, I wasn't appreciated at this job, even though I did my best and worked hard and whatever. And, you know, I didn't like it at all. And I just kind of wish that I had not taken this job. But I worked there for a few years. A lot of information. And I've worked here for years. And obviously, there needs to be a transition. Just obviously a ridiculous thing to do. Paying way too little. And I was just thinking, I'm not even getting these jobs, and I don't even know if I moved to Indiana. I ended up getting a job that really ended up paying me super well, and I was able to work there for years and make a ton of money. You know, because why? God sees what you're doing, and he'll sometimes reward you. Think about it all the time. It's a verse that I've thought about for years because it's such a powerful promise that anything you do, you will get paid 100%. Even if your boss doesn't pay you, even if the customer doesn't pay you, you will get paid for every stitch. Holes that the Bible talks about because you're not doing a good job. And so you need to get an attitude that says, I'm working for Christ, I'm serving the Lord, and therefore, give it your best. You know, people have this attitude, well, if I had a good job, I'd work harder. If I had a better boss that appreciated me, I'd work better. Or how about this? Wives that say, well, if I had a godly husband, man, I'd be the ideal wife. No, you wouldn't. You just wouldn't. Okay? And then you got children. Oh, when they grow up, they're going to be the superstar at their job, right? And oh, the girls, the teenage girls, man, they're going to be a superstar wife. Well, hold on a second. Okay, are you getting along with your parents? And you might think, well, that's different with my husband because we're going to be in love. Yeah, you know what? You're going to be in love except when you're not. Because parents telling me, hey, if you can't get along with your sister, if you can't get along in this family, you know, how are you going to get along with your wife someday? And I'm like, oh, please. You know, but we weren't really buddies growing up. Did my father and didn't get along with him and didn't have a right attitude toward him. But you know what? I thank God that I fixed those relationships before I moved out. I didn't end up storming out.